Tarry here, where the stories never grow old, and you hear something new every time they are told and it comes clear. So tarry here, where it doesn't matter your age, and when we gather round the table, we all take the stage year after year. So tarry here.
Welcome to the Enlighten Radio Storytelling Hour. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2020, and we're glad you've joined us. We'll be telling some stories. We have an interview today with Jennifer Wabnitz. This is Fanny Crawford, your storytelling host, and
Darcy Olkowski.
And we have with us Jennifer Wabnitz. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Well, we're very glad you're here, too. We're going to be talking about the Shepherdstown Back Alley Garden Tour with Jennifer, and we have some gardening stories to share. Can Stash, you want to start us off with...
I can do a quick announcement about the Shepherdstown and Washington County storytelling events. As of now, there's nothing in April from Shepherdstown from the Speak Story series because that's been canceled. And Adam Booth is working on May, trying to set up something that will be by screen, similar to this. And he has not gotten it settled yet. So I'm all of us on the committee. We're just waiting for word from Adam. For the Storytelling Guild, the Antietam Storytelling Guild, Mark has put three stories, one by Larry Hayes, one by Renee, and one by myself, on YouTube at Stories From Home, and it's really nice. The sound's good, and the pictures are good, everything. So that's up, and there will be more coming up. But as far as other performances in the area, there is nothing going on except electronically.
And we're glad that is happening.
Yes.
Glad that's happening. Okay. Well, Jennifer, thanks so much for being our resource for the Back Alley Garden Tour. I've been to a couple different years, and it is a wonderful, wonderful event, and I'm glad that it's still in the works for this year. You want to tell us what you know so far?
Certainly. We've got a good variety, almost 19 homes that were willing to participate. One of our challenges, of course, is with the COVID-19 scare. People didn't want to make the commitment for the planned dates, which were in May. So we're kind of on hold to tell exactly which day it is because, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. However, I could tell you about some of the houses. We have some. One that is a completely remodeled home. So they took the old house and they've renovated it. It is fantastic. But they left the garden completely blank. And we're going to have little planks for the visitors to walk around through this garden area and suggestion boxes. So people will be able to make their suggestions as to what they think would work well in that particular corner. We also have some beautiful old stone garden or stone-walled gardens, and you know each garden offers something a little bit different. People that come through usually have a lot of learning experiences because what they see growing in one garden might work in their own garden, and so they try to take notes, and lots of pictures are taken, and it's very enjoyable for most of the guests that come through. Some of the gardens that we have They've been on the tour before, but they've added new features. There was a lady last year who had added six baby plum trees, and she wants to be on the tour again in a few years, and you'll be able to see how she's trained these plum trees to form an arbor, which is going to be a nice feature in her yard. And that's the other fun thing about watching gardens. Even though you saw it maybe 5 years ago, if you come and see it again, it's going to have something new, and the things that were planted 5 years ago will be even bigger. And it's very, very interesting how gardens change even through the seasons. You know, several years ago we had that dreadful flood, and that caused a lot of things to die, and people have replaced them. And it's been an interesting work in progress. Again, we have about 19 homes that were willing to participate. We'll have to keep people posted as to which day it's going to be, but that's the tricky part of planning an event during this crisis.
Is that 19 number sounds higher than the number of gardens that I visited the last couple times I was there. Isn't that a pretty good number?
It's a great number. And we're so thankful to the homeowners that are willing to do this. You can imagine it takes a lot of time and energy to get your garden ready to receive, you know, 400 some visitors. And each gardener seems to have a real pride in their home, and they fill in every nook and cranny and take really a lot of care and concern that the visitors are rewarded by coming to visit this garden. I was thinking in particular last year, there was a lovely garden, and the lady had planted bachelor buttons, which were bright, bright blue, and oriental poppies. And, you know, that's quite a contrast from bright blue to the pretty bright orange. So many people took pictures of it and said, I should put this combination in my yard. And, you know, it's one of the beauties of gardening is you can combine all kinds of colors and it looks fantastic. Now, if you combine all those colors in blouse, it might be a little garish, but in a garden, it's fabulous.
I've learned so much from going to the garden tour and have tried some specific things that I saw. There was a hosta garden that really impressed me. I already had 4 or 5 different varieties, but this garden had at least 8-10 different varieties of hostas that just blew me away. So I've added a few more.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's a really good thing to do, to look at other gardens and see what's growing in their soil. You know, and if it works in your neighbor's yard, it's most likely going to work in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important thing to know, you know, what zone you're in, what kind of soil your plants need. And I'm particularly fond of hibiscus plants. Unfortunately, they're rather finicky, and they don't like to have their flowers blown on.
Oh.
And where I live, we have a lot of wind, and it just comes straight across the fields, and I don't even try to grow hibiscus because I know they would be upset and wouldn't bloom.
Yeah. Well, I was, as you were talking about the garden with the new plum trees, I was wondering how, I think Shepherdstown is about the same as, I'm trying to remember if your gardens in Shepherdstown are ahead of us. I'm on the east side of Hagerstown, and I can't remember if you guys are a few days ahead of us or a few days behind, but I'm wondering if those plum trees are in bloom yet, because our dogwoods are not quite ready to bloom. We have lots of cherries and apples in bloom, but I don't think our...
Yeah, the plum trees aren't quite blooming, not
okay.
Just yet, no. Yeah, I think we are just a day or two ahead of you.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're using a lot of paper, and some of this equipment is new, so I'm trying to mute my phone when we're when you're talking, Jen.
gotcha.
But I have to remember to keep doing that. And of course, you know, we can't be in the studio all together this week, so we're doing our show by phone. I remember that some of the gardens that I saw were pretty old. Some of them had been owned or maintained. I don't know if it was the same family, but had been maintained for more than 50, 60, 70 years. And that's part of what is so attractive about this tour, is that the gardens are so carefully maintained. They're not just show gardens that are put together for this event. These people have been working on these spaces for such a long time.
Correct. In fact, it really is one of the beauties of having the tour in Shepherdstown. Shepherdstown is over 250 years old, and just the town itself is quaint to walk through, even in the mid of winter. But with the gardens in bloom, for example, one of the spectacular plants that I just love to look at is a wisteria. And, you know, it's a vine, but the root of this vine is like a tree trunk. They figure it's probably over 150 years old, this wisteria, and the blooms are a magnificent purple. You can smell the scent from a block away.
I remember that wisteria, yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
It's a grand old lady.
Grand old lady. And that's part of the reason why we try to have this tour in May, because everything that's blooming is so spectacular during that season. Now, most likely this year we're going to have it later than May, but certainly that's the ideal time. And it's also a decent weather. You know, if we tried to have it in July, I think our docents would be creased sitting out in the garden for 4 hours. You know, we try to have a docent at each property.
Right,
just
yeah.
to give guests a little tour or answer any questions that may come up or point out any special features. And, so that's one area that people can volunteer if they wanted to. You know, if they're listening today and they say, wow, this sounds like fun, it's something that we're always willing to have new docents come on board, and we give them a little orientation. We also provide the guests with one opportunity to come and have tea with us at the War Memorial Building, which is centrally located amongst all the homes that are on the tour, right in the center of town. We have it's a two-story brick building, and there we serve a traditional tea with, you know, also a lemonade option for those that don't want to drink tea. And there's cookies and sandwiches, and it's really a lot of fun. And we have a whole team that do some taste testing, and then we train all the young ladies that come as our volunteer servers and try to make that kind of a fun aspect too. Because after your tour, you know, 10 or 11 gardens, you're often ready for a little refreshment.
Yes. Well, I totally agree. I think you're underselling the tea. I mean, as amazing as the gardens are, the tea is also quite impressive. I don't know who does, I don't remember the names of any of the ladies that, and men, who contributed the all of the dainties that were served at the teas, but it was wonderful. It was
That's terrific to hear. We are a very fortunate club in that we have a lot of willing volunteers. And, you know, it seems like everybody kind of contributes their own little specialty. Last year, I got to bake 500 lavender cookies. I don't know if you've ever had a lavender cookie. And the first year they asked me to do it, I said, what? Anyway, I went to the little tonic shop in Shepherdstown, and I bought 20 ounces of lavender, brought it home, baked up these cookies. My kitchen smelled divine.
Oh.
Anyway, it was, it's just a nice part about belonging to a club like the Community Club is everybody wants to contribute. And the whole reason that we do this particular event or our other fundraising events is we maintain the Morgan's Grove Park. which is a 25 acres of nice rolling grassy hills just outside of Shepherdstown. And there's a walking trail, a kitchen and bathroom building, a great big pavilion that you can sit under and have a little picnic, and there's a little babbling stream that runs through it, and a playground equipment. And all of that is maintained by the Shepherdstown Community Club, and it takes a certain amount of money. We actually hire a crew to mow all the grass, because you can imagine 25 acres of grass. That's a lot of mowing. And it, you know, this is how we fund that project. We also maintain the War Memorial Building, which is, like I said, in downtown Shepherdstown. And, you know, this year we've put in a new air conditioning system, and it's an old building, takes maintenance, just like anybody's home. There's always a project that needs done, and we have a good crew of volunteers that help us with a lot of these projects. So it's a very nice, cohesive group that just everybody seems to pull together. And when you need a carpenter, all of a sudden somebody knows somebody who can come and help out. It's great the way that works.
Yeah, and it's a fine building in its own right, the War Memorial Building. I call it the Community Club, but I know it has several names. Yeah,
it's kind of had an identity crisis, you know. It's got all these different names, and sometimes people don't know where it is, and it's had an interesting history in itself. There was a, briefly tell you how it went, there was a vacant lot, and during the Civil War, the members of the Methodist Church got to squabbling, and some of the people that were more inclined with the Southern concepts said, we're going to go and build our own church. So they bought that vacant lot, and they built this beautiful three-story church. And after several years, or after several generations, rather, they decided, you know, maybe we should get back with the other members of this congregation. So they put the building up for sale. And 75 years ago, the gentleman of Shepherdstown said, let's just buy that and call ourselves the Community Club. Well, they called themselves Shepherdstown Men's Club at the time, but then they were enlightened and decided to invite some ladies to join in. Anyway, so that's how we ended up with this fabulous building.
It is a fabulous building, yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfect for performances and big gatherings like that.
One of the other aspects of our back alley tea and tour was a group of artists from the area hold an art show on the first floor of the building. So you can come in and purchase local artwork done by the local artists. And they try to feature, you know, gardens and homes and things that might appeal to gardeners. It is really a spectacular event. And we've had different groups that are interested in holding kind of like joint events as we go along. For example, the Potomac Garden Club, they were going to rent one of the empty stores in Shepherdstown, and they were going to have their own art show. And they called it Art in Bloom. And the Bridge Gallery was going to offer several different art pieces. And the ladies of the Garden Club were going to create flower arrangements that augmented the piece of work, the piece of art. So if the art had, you know, purple and green colors, then the flower arrangement would have the same color scheme, maybe some of the same, you know, bold colors or newer colors. And it's really a lot of fun. The ladies in the club really enjoy trying their hand at, you know, coming up with different creative arrangements. And all of that was going to be it's going to be one of the stops on the tour this year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Stosh do our station ID and then.
Great idea.
And then tell a story, Stosh.
Oh, if you think that's appropriate now, I don't want to take up too much of the time, because the conversation is, even though I'm not part of it, I know it could be, is very interesting. I know nothing about gardens except when I see what my wife is doing and things like that. But we are listening to the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour, broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia, with Fanny Crawford and Stacy Okowski. Sorry, I jumped her name. And we have a guest this morning, Jennifer Wobnitz, talking about the Garden Club tour, back garden tour in Shepherdstown. And I'm just going to say this about people like me, people who don't plant gardens or take care of gardens or anything like that. It still is a very enjoyable thing to be able to walk past people's homes. I do that here in Sharpsburg sometimes on a daily walk, and admire how they take care of the gardens and how beautiful they can be. So in my mind, you don't have to be a gardener to really enjoy the beauty and the wonder of seeing those nice places that people take care of.
Well, that's a great comment.
A generous endorsement from a non-gardener.
Right. And I love flowers. I love all things that grow, of course, since I eat a lot. Fanny, I really think we should keep Jennifer talking.
Okay.
And things, because if everybody gets tired and runs out of things to say, then I'll tell the story that I have. But otherwise, it's really less important than anything about this tour.
All right. I don't know that we're going to run out of things to say. That may not happen. But
I doubt that this could go on for days.
You're a very humble man, Steph. That's an admirable quality. Well, I would love to share one little story that happened last year. You know, one of the delicious things about this tour are the people who come to visit. And they come from all over. We have a group of ladies, mothers and daughters that get together and come on this tour, and they've done it for 11 years in a row. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I just think it's such a fun thing to do, and they travel from their homes, they congregate in Shepherdstown, and then they take this tour, they spend the night, and I just think what a fun thing to do. So the fact that you have two generations of folks that want to get together and enjoy this is nice. There was also a family that came through the garden that I was docenting at last year. It was a grandfather, two of the kids, and then a little parcel of grandchildren. And the youngest one was a four-year-old boy. And let me tell you, he was not interested in the colors of the flowers or the Latin name or any of those things. What he delighted in was rolling down the bank. And at first, he kind of looked with trepidation. He looked at his grandfather. He looked at his dad. And then finally, he looked at me, and I winked at him. He said, "That's it. I got permission. I'm going." And down he went. He rolled head, you know, over and over and over and over again. And the squeals of delight. You know, everybody turned to look at him to see what he was doing. And he was having so much fun. And I thought, that's the thing about a garden. Everybody can enjoy it. So he came up, he rolled down probably four or five times. And I know his little knees had grass stains and his elbow had a little scrape. But you know what? He was a happy boy.
Something for everybody.
Something for everybody, exactly.
That's wonderful, especially if people are tolerant of that, because children should be allowed to play. As long as they're not destroying things. And that, as a grandfather, I'm a great believer in that.
Well, I agree too. And, you know, that's a big reason why we do this, these events, to keep the park available for kids to play in. You know, a lot of people can't really afford a big, spacious yard for their children to run around in. And kids need to have a little bit of playtime. You know, and when you go over to the park, here's an example. This Christmas, remember we had a few really mild days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to the park. There were 17 cars in the parking lot. I thought, you know, this is December, and here we have 17 cars in this parking lot. There were kids chasing a ball. There were people walking a dog. There were kids on the swings. I mean, this is a busy, busy day at the park. And I thought, this is magnificent. This is why we do all these fundraisers throughout the year, to keep this park available and not sold to some developer who puts in 400 condos. You know, I mean, it was just so refreshing and pleasant to see these kids out playing and having fun. And I thought, you know, what a great asset this little park is to our community, that they have somewhere to go, and it costs them nothing. You know, we just have them come and enjoy themselves. And through the generosity of the homeowners that are willing to put on these tours for us, and the generosity of the bakers that bake all the cookies, and, you know, it's a group. It really is a community effort. That park is community owned, and it's a nice thing to enjoy.
I was going to ask you, when we were talking about something for everybody, and I guess this also relates to all of the effort that the group puts into maintaining, all of the resources you put into maintaining the community club building or the War Memorial. The plant sale. Are you going to do that this year?
Yes, we are. Absolutely. And I've been encouraging people during this quarantine time to go through their bookshelves and find books that they've read over and over and are ready to share with others. We have the book sale is in October, and hopefully the quarantine will be lifted by then. And the book sale basically starts on Friday, goes through Saturday and Sunday. And last year we had a special day where teachers could come and present their identification and receive a discount, because we're trying to, you know, help out the teachers as best we can. And that is held at the War Memorial Building. We have two stories full of books. And the reason I say it's full is because I helped to unload the storage unit last year. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Shepherdstown is a community that loves to read. And they have so graciously shared their books over and over again. And sometimes the same book comes back, which is kind of amusing. We also have, in our little community, we have lending libraries. And you guys probably have them in your communities, too. But they're little enclosed boxes located around the town. And people put books in, and people take books out. And the idea is that, you know, after you've read one book, you might be not wanting to read it again, or you want to share it with others. You can just put it in this little lending library, and somebody comes by and picks it up and reads it. We have one at Morgan's Grove Park, so that maybe moms and dads, you know, their little one wants to play on the swings a little longer, they can just enjoy a good book. It's been a really fun little project, actually, seeing how these libraries, lending libraries, have worked out. One lady built one to match her home. So see this lending library, there it is matching her house. It's really, really nicely done.
And yeah. I think in past years, the Potomac Valley Audubon Society has also done a native plant sale at the garden tour. Is that happening this year?
Well, it hasn't been arranged, but it certainly would be a welcome thing to do. One of our challenges was the area beside the War Memorial Building was really a little bit run down. And the city has put in beautiful new sidewalks, redone the road service. It is perfect. And so it would be a good spot to have a plant sale this year. So hopefully we can get that organized.
That was one of my favorite parts of the tour, because seeing so many gorgeous gardens and being inspired, of course, as long as I remember to bring cash with me. I take home a lot of things that then I can put in the into my own garden while I am thus inspired.
That is a great idea. And, you know, for people who are interested in gardening, you know, I think after you invest in a few good tools, good garden gloves, good clippers, a shovel, really after that, it's the plants. Finding those things that work in your yard, maybe cultivating your soil a little bit, treating the soil. But after that, it's just the plants. And you can find a lot of reasonable plants at those types of sales. Very fun.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the plants are, in past years anyway, have been new that came from nurseries. But a lot of them were also transplants from people's gardens. And those are my favorites. You know, if I've seen a plant in Shepherdstown that seems to do well there, knowing that somebody cared for it and then repotted it just for me.
Just for you. Yeah. Isn't that fun? Well, and you know, sometimes you get little tips from the gardeners, you know, if you're lucky enough to have the gardener stay and want to chat with you in their own homes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have the docents. Some of them have good gardening tips. I learned one that I tried last year and it was magnificent. Mm-hmm. I had lamented those four-legged fur balls that wander around my property and eat freely from my garden and my flower beds. Some people call them deer. Anyway, I said, I can't win. I put the flowers in, and the very next day, all I have left are stems. Mm. They come and they feast in my garden. So this lady told me if I took a bar of Irish Spring soap, and shaved it on my cheese grater and sprinkled it generously in my flower garden, the deer don't like the scent. It's too strong. It's too kind of unusual. So out I went. I bought a whole case of Irish Spring soap. I shaved it all over my yard. And the first good rain, I had suds coming across my driveway. It was really kind of amusing. Anyway, the deer did not like that smell, and so they cleared off. They went and ate somebody else's garden. Or no, I mean, they went and ate in the woods.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And a wonderful advertisement for the Irish Spring soap.
Irish Spring. Yeah, well.
Do you know whether Irish Spring soap works on squirrels?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll have to try. So far, I'm using coyote urine all over my garden for the squirrels. Gosh. But that only lasts about half the season. By the middle of the season,
coyote urine. I don't even want to know where you buy that.
My very next question was, where do you buy something like that? And I don't really want to know. I'm just... Wow.
Most of the gardening stores have it. The first time I bought it at it was straight coyote urine. That's what it said on the bottle. Boy. That came from an Crawford's Hardware here near in downtown Boonesboro was where I found it the first time. But since then, I found it at Lowe's. So it's quite a common product.
Yeah.
I wonder, do the coyotes profit any from that?
I'm sure that there are wealthy mogul coyotes sitting somewhere just peeing into a jar, you know.
Well, one of the reasons that I was willing to try this Irish Spring was I also have two dogs, and I didn't really want to put down a pesticide that might bother my dogs. But I wonder how they would react to this coyote urine. They might be, you know, out there on defense.
Yeah, they might also
see both
tear
of them
up
at point.
They might also tear up your garden.
Right. Or they might.
For the varmint.
They might get into a urinating war.
Oh, that's
true. Oh, coyote
can
buy
it.
Maybe the end of my flowers, too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to switch gears a little bit.
I took notes on that because that's the basis for a great story.
Uh-oh. We have unleashed a monster.
Oh, dear.
The next Liars contest, I believe.
Uh-huh. Okay. We'll see. Well, Jennifer, I am fascinated by the logistics and planning and organizational skills that must go into this event. It is so well planned. It from the outside, I'm sure this is not true, just knowing from my own disasters with planning events, but it looks like clockwork from where I sit. Everyone is gracious. No one looks stressed. The docents are always so happy to see every single person, even the four-year-old rolling down the hill.
Exactly.
And the tea is just exquisite, wonderful food, plenty of space, and the flower arrangements for the tea. And some of
let me tell you about the flower arrangements.
Okay.
Meg, I'm sorry. I forgot all about that detail. We have in our midst in Shepherdstown the most magnificent lady who arranges all those flower arrangements. Some of them are 5 feet tall.
They are gorgeous.
They are out of a showcase magazine. They are just spectacular. So this wonderful, wonderful woman spends the entire year getting plans, organizing what she needs. She knows who grows what in their gardens. So, for example, if she needs hydrangeas, she knows who has hydrangeas growing in her garden. And she'll go over and snip them off, one or two. She doesn't take them all. And she has, like, maps of where she gets all these items from. She also has a pretty spectacular flower garden herself. And she has this huge collection of urns and vases. I mean, they are really spectacular. She absolutely does a marvelous, marvelous job. And we owe her a debt of gratitude because that's what makes the tea. You know, you come in and you see these huge floral arrangements. It's magnificent.
It is magnificent. They're just stunning.
Yes.
I should add that some people get really dressed up for the teas. I don't know if they're wearing the same clothes as they go through the garden tour, but they come into the tea space with their hats and their beautiful floral dresses, including children, little girls dressed up in nice dresses and boys in their suits and ties. And that's part of the charm of going to the tea, is that there are always some sartorial icons. And some of them only three feet tall.
And we have a tea party in December as well. And that we call it the Victorian tea. And same thing, we had a little boy came last year and he goes, "Mom, this floor is so wonderful. I just want to dance." And she said, "Go ahead and dance." And he danced all around the room and he was maybe 4 or 5. It was great. And we had a quartet come and sing some Christmas tunes. It was really, really a lot of fun. And we're going to have that one again. We hold it about mid-December. Maybe moms and dads need a little break. It's just a nice spot to come and have a refreshing cup of tea. And, of course, tea comes with sandwiches and cookies and all kinds of things that kids love. And our decorating team does a spectacular job with that. We have a 20-foot Christmas tree, amazing decorations. Mm. But back to planning the garden tour. The first challenge, of course, is getting the homeowners to agree to be part of the tour. So we've already got that done. That starts in about January. You start, you know, nudging your neighbor. "Hey, your garden looks really nice." Anyway, so you have to, you know, and I think most people that live in our downtown area benefit so much from the different events that we put on that they just agree to it. And we don't ask the same people every year because we know it's a lot of work and there's an expense involved. And then so we do that starting in January, get them on board. That gives them time to prune a few things if they need to once spring arrives, and then, you know, plan those little bare spots. What are they going to put in there? Then we have a group of young ladies that we recruit to come and be the servers for the tea party. And we try to do a little orientation evening where we show them how to serve the food. And we, because the more prepared they are, the more happy they are to do the actual event. If you have them there without knowing what's going on and where should I sit, where should I stand, where should I, you know, this way it makes it a little easier. And let's see. So
they are charming when they come around.
Yeah.
Just to serve
them. Well, that's, thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the other organizers? You talked about Meg and her amazing, her own garden and all of the planning and communicating she does to gather the flowers for her arrangements for the tea. But what about all the other planning that goes into the event? Does the committee start as soon as the first, as soon as 1 year is over, like the next weekend, do you begin planning for the next year? How does that work?
Well, maybe not quite the next weekend, because, you know, in any organization, there's that one core group of people that are doing the majority of the work. Same thing happens in our community club. We have a crowd of people that are willing to come to events, but there's about 15 people that do the planning and the organizing. So once the back alley tour is over, then we start focusing on the book sale.
Okay.
Anyway, once the book sale's over, we go back to the back alley tour for sure. It does take a lot of planning. And we have one gal who's kind of in charge of the tea itself. So she'll go through cookbooks and figure out what the menu could be. And we have a taste testing. Oh, this cookie's too dry. Oh, this cookie's too moist. Those kinds of things. Then they make the selection and we go forward.
Very good.
And then there's another crew that tries to do the advertising. That takes a little bit of time and energy as well.
That's the secret to many events, is the advertising.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we have tried to be current, up-to-date, and we have a website that people can go to and purchase their tickets using PayPal. And we also have the old-fashioned way of a box of tickets at the bookstore and at the sweet shop, and people can go in and purchase tickets there.
I'm going to take a moment to do a station ID. And then maybe, Jen, you could say a few words about how the garden tour has, the Shepherdstown Back Alley Garden Tour has changed over the years from what it was like in the beginning. I know you probably weren't there for the very beginning, but you've probably heard some stories about how the tour has developed over the years. But I want our listeners to know that we're Enlightened Radio, community radio broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia, and this is the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour. I don't think we mentioned so far that if you're enjoying what you're hearing today, you can go to our podcasts at talltales.enlightenradio.org. I'm Fanny Crawford, your storytelling host.
And Stasi Okalski.
Our other host, and we're chatting with Jennifer Wabnitz, who's helping or coordinating the Shepherdstown Back Alley Garden Tour this year. Take it away, Jennifer.
All right. Well, as you can imagine, an event that's gone on for 25 plus years, there has been some evolution. I think one of the nicest things that we offer is the 2 days, because sometimes people are available on a Saturday but not Sunday, and vice versa. So our tour happens both Saturday and Sunday, and they can come through and look, possibly if they spend the night in Shepherdstown, they might want to do a few on Saturday and follow up on Sunday. it works out really, really nicely. A lot of people comment that that's a good feature. And of course, over time, different things have happened. One of the things that started was when the Friday Painters, that's the name of the group that do local paintings and artwork from our community, when they asked if they could have a art show and sale on our main floor, we said, sure, you know, give that a try. So that's been kind of a feature that they've added over the years. They also created the artwork for our logo, which is a garden gate with the wisteria growing across the top of it. And that's become a recognized symbol over the years. We've also tried different things that some worked and some didn't work too well. One of the challenges is orienting people to take like the shortest route around town so that they can find all the gardens and not be too exhausted. So one year, our wonderful gentleman who's helped out, I think, from the beginning of time, he shows up on Saturday morning and he goes and puts out all the little signs that say, this is stop number one, this is stop number two. And he said, okay, I've got to help them get from stop one to stop two. So he took sidewalk chalk and drew little arrows so you could follow the arrows along the sidewalk to get to the next location. Doesn't that sound like a great idea?
Yeah.
It
works really great until it rained.
Oh.
So the rain washed away all his beautiful sidewalk chalk, and you just had to follow the map. But he was trying. He's a really wonderful, wonderful volunteer. All organizations need one of these guys. He's the same guy who goes over to Morgansgrove Park and cleans out all the eaves troughs, gets all the leaves and debris out of there, and he does it without... He never mentions that he's going to do it. He just shows up and does it. You know, really a wonderful person to have around. Anyway. Well,
Shepherdstown is a wonderful, charming, such a pleasant and beautiful place to be. I'm not surprised that you have stories like that, because I know the people behind the scenes are the ones who make the magic happen in Shepherdstown.
That's exactly right. I'm really glad you recognize that, because it is. It's a special little place. I remember our very first Christmas here, which was 12 years ago, we went to the Santa Claus parade, and these snowflakes the size of buttons was falling down, and the sun was shining, and the snow was falling. I looked at my husband, and I said, we moved into a postcard. It was just like... something you would see in on a postcard. It was just so beautiful. Yeah, we have not regretted it. It's just been wonderful. Well, some of the other things that have happened through the years at the community or at the Back Alley Tour, we had really, really horrendous rain, which, of course, people didn't really want to be touring gardens. So one year there was like 60 visitors. And I think they were just loyal friends. So that was a bit of a bust.
Yeah.
We've had other years when it's just been so brutally hot, even though it's May. It's unbelievable how hot it can get. And we try to have water bottles at almost every station. Just, you know, people need to be prepared. And we encourage people to wear walking shoes and hats if you need them. Because it does get pretty warm. I'm trying to think of some of the other... Oh, one of the other challenges to this tour, as you can imagine, we try to keep it walkable. So a few years ago, we had Papa Deacon as one of the homes on the tour, and that's the name of the house on Shepherd University campus where the president lives. And it is a pretty spectacular house and has spectacular gardens. So we tried to include that. The only problem is it's really a distance from the center of our little community. Mm-hmm. So people opted to drive over there and have, you know, look at the house and then drive back again. Of course, the other challenge to Shepherdstown tours is the parking. So it's best to come prepared to walk, because to drive your car from one home to the other, and we call it the back alley TN tour because we like people to go up and down the alleys. They give another little view into the gardens. People even plant things in the alley to make it more attractive. It really is fun.
Yes, I love the gardens on the back alleys, and I try to walk when I am walking through Shepherdstown. I often take the alleys. When we first started the radio show, our station was on the back alley. That was in the back. It was up above the bookstore.
Oh, fun!
On German Street. So we always walked the back alleys to get to the station.
Yeah.
I can certainly testify that if you've never walked Shepherdstown's back alleys, you're definitely missing a wonderful view of the town.
Oh, yeah, it really is. You know, sometimes you hear that term back alley and you think of trash cans and little cats running about. You might see a trash can or two. You might see a cat or two, but you also can peer over these 200-year-old stone walls and look into gardens and just see a whole different view, and really, really fun.
Actually, you know, the cats of Shepherdstown are a whole nother story topic that we could do someday, because there
Next
are
Monday?
Some charming...
Yeah.
Another day, yeah. There are some charming and beautiful cats that you meet if you're walking the back alleys. I've enjoyed that aspect of town as well.
Absolutely. And we have a good collection of cats. We also have a very dog-friendly population. You'll quite often find people leave out a bowl of fresh water for dogs who happen to be walking along with owners.
Oh,
and a
yeah.
lot of stores give out dog biscuits. It's kind of amusing. And we have dog days.
Dog days, you mean official dog days or hot weather dog days?
They have we have both of those, really. We have a two-day festival where we have like a little expo in our downtown area talking about features for dogs. So there's, you know, the latest and greatest leash technology. There's the latest and greatest medicine and dog therapists and all kinds of interesting things that they have there. And again, we have some volunteer bakers that make dog biscuits and all kinds of fun things. It's really just a way to help dog owners know a little bit more about dogs. And it's a lot of fun how people get together and show off their dogs. And we had one creative lady who did a calendar, and she went to people's homes, took the dogs' pictures, posted them up in the War Memorial Building, and had them all around the art gallery, and you would go in and vote. And the prettiest dog, the dog that got the most votes was January. The January calendar dog. And the one that got the second most votes was February. I'm the very proud owner of Miss July.
Oh my. What a great idea. Well, listen, we are almost out of time. Go ahead and finish that story, and then I have one last question for you.
I also have a comment about dogs.
Okay.
Can you believe that? Since I don't own a dog, I'm not a dog. But one of the things that I've come across in recent years through my storytelling is that there are some libraries, unfortunately, I don't know of any in Washington County, but I do know of some in Carroll County. The libraries have children read to dogs once a week during the pleasant months of the year. And it is a great activity. It encourages the children to read and to spend time with the dogs. And they have, at the library in Westminster, they have people sign up, bring their dogs, and right, and it's inside the library in one of the rooms, and the children come now and sit with the dogs and read to them, and it is absolutely adorable to see. And the kids love doing it.
I bet the dogs do too.
A great story, and the dog doesn't criticize the child reading. What a great idea.
That's perfect for encouraging children to read.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you told me that story.
You're welcome. I also, just a quick thing. When I lived in Arkansas, one of the things we did in the community where I lived was we would have people, not only children, but people come to one of the pavilions where we often had different kinds of events to read to the horses. And some of the people who owned horses in the outlying community would bring horses, and we would have people read to the horses. And again, it was a wonderful activity for the young people, and even some of the older people did it.
Well, Jennifer, it'd be interesting getting a horse in our library, but okay.
Well, this was outside at one of the pavilions.
Yeah.
It was sponsored by the library, but not in
Jennifer,
the library.
Before we close, can you give us a website or phone numbers, contact information for the Shepherdstown Back Alley Tour and for all of the other events that you mentioned as you were telling your stories today?
I'm sorry, I do go on. Okay, so the Shepherdstown Community Club, so it's www.shepherdstowncc.org. And our phone number is 304-876-3323. And we would love to hear from you. If you live in the Shepherdstown area and you'd like to become a member, that's available too. It's really a wonderful event. We have people of all ages, activities that we're trying to plan for all ages, and people get together once a month and have a lot of fun social interaction once this COVID thing leaves us.
Well, we will definitely be showing up for the Back Alley Garden Tour, one of my favorite events, and I'm sorry I missed it last year, but I'm hoping to get back in the swing and not miss any forward.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me today. I've really enjoyed my time with you, and you can call me anytime. I'll be happy to come back.
Okay. Stosh, do you want to take us out?
Yes, I'll be glad to do that. Thank you, Jennifer. It's been very enjoyable listening to all the information that you gave us and the stories.
We'll see you there.
Okay. Terrific.
Good. This is Stosh Ziolkowski closing out the Noontime Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour, along with my co-host,
Fanny Crawford.
And
thanks to Jennifer Wobnitz.
Yes.
Thank you.
The Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour offers listeners a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional tellers, encouraging our listening community to share, preserve, and expand our own stories. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, and we'll look for you next week.
And John will come in at any minute now and close this out.
All right.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Oh, you are
I'm
so
sorry
welcome.
Things were so chaotic this morning, but we appreciate your joining us.
Jennifer, now we're finished. I have a question for you. Have you thought about having a storyteller at your Christmas tea?
That's a great idea.
And now that you know us, you have access to any number of storytellers.
That is fantastic. I will call you. I think that would be wonderful. We last year we did it on December the 15th. I don't know if that was too early or late for you, but if that time frame works, that would be just great. So it would be like a 15-20 minute type of thing, or how do you do that?
It would be whatever you wanted.
Well, it's, what I was thinking is the guests usually stay about 45 minutes long. So they come in, they have their tea and cookies, and then they wander off again. See what I mean? Like, it's not really, and so they revolve through the door. We don't really have a set program. Right. Maybe we should have a set program. I don't know.
It's possible to do something like that. I'd be glad to talk to you about it.
Great. Thank you for thinking of that. We could take care of that. That'd be fun. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thanks. I'm so glad you called.
Right.
Me too. Okay.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.